Hello everyone and welcome to episode 6 of the Proudly White podcast. I'm Lee.
And I'm Sean.
And we've got a couple more matches to give you some insight into. So, should we start with the men's?
Why not? They've been going for a little bit longer.
So, not the best two matches we've ever seen Spurs play, but we wouldn't be Spurs fans if we didn't expect it, really.
Well, yes. We start with a difficult game that we get come through, and we all think, "Oh right, okay, maybe Spurs have changed," but then they prove us wrong.
Yep. So you get the points at the Etihad again, and everyone's like, "Yeah, here goes Spurs, good season," and home to Newcastle, and well, it happened.
Well, it's going to happen at some point, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people have been underestimating Newcastle this season, and expecting the worst from them. At some point, they were going to have a great result, and it's typical, of course, that it's against us.
Yeah, and I mean, first time that they've been to the stadium, and it is a big occasion. I guess on the day we didn't play too bad. I mean, there were plenty of chances, and it was just that cutting edge that we're just so used to having with our front lineup, and it's just, I don't know whether it's a difference in them not all being able to play together, because obviously Son's back from suspension, but obviously he's been there through training, and I don't know, it just didn't seem to click. I think something was just a bit off with them.
Well, yeah, Son didn't look match fit, did he? He didn't look like he'd been playing games. You could tell there was a bit of fatigue there, or lack of sharpness maybe there. I mean, but look, Newcastle put in a shift. The running that their players made, and they really worked hard. So I don't think you can take anything away from that perspective. And it's great result for them. I think we're still finding our feet this new season. And hopefully we will start to improve as we go forward. But that's our loss for the season.
I think was it City who lost to Newcastle and then went on that huge unbeaten streak. So there's always a silver lining, right?
Although the next game didn't really allow for that. But
No, but who doesn't love a North London derby?
Well, absolutely, and as always, a few goals are flying about the place. And well, when you consider it was an away game, you can't be too unhappy. Obviously, whenever we're playing Arsenal, we like to win, and we know that at the moment, we could be beating them. But an away North London derby to get a point from isn't a bad result.
You picked that out from the start, and you'd be happy taking a point away. But it's just when you're in the zone and you're watching the match and two goals up and then to go back to 2-2, sometimes, especially in these big matches, it can feel like it's two dropped rather than one gained. But, we take the point and, it was a really good performance. It wasn't bad. So there's plenty to take away from it. And, onwards and upwards.
Yes, indeed. And, we'll just make sure we get the 3 points when they come to us, that's the important thing. And I think, last season, those kind of games, were the games that we were losing. City and Arsenal, both games where, we were struggling to get points. This season, in the away fixture of both, we've got a point, which, nobody expected us to go up to the Etihad and get a point. And yes, people might have thought we could have got more from the Arsenal game, but when you even it out, it's not a bad start to the season. We've had the England break now. Harry Kane's proved a few people wrong in terms of his form. Let's hope that now we can crash on. And I mean, although looking at the two games ahead, we might have thought at the beginning of the season though that they would be reasonably easy ones, but they're not looking easy now at all.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, you think of the first four matches that we've got. So we were home to Villa, away to City, and then home to Newcastle and away to Arsenal. And you look at those and you think, okay, there's definitely at least 6 points out there. So it's come away with five. It's not the end of the world, but, there's definite room for improvement. And yeah, like you said, the upcoming matches, we're home to Palace, and then we've got Champions League coming up as well. So, there are points out there that, we should be able to take.
But Palace have been on the up in the last couple of games. Yeah. They started the season badly. They've started to improve now. And then, of course, we're away at Leicester, who are doing amazingly well at the beginning of the season. So there's no, we know there's no easy games in the Premier League.
Yeah, no easy games in the Premier League.
There's never going to be a chance where for us to just kick back and assume we've got the points. But a home game against Crystal Palace, you've got to think, you know, we need to be getting 3 points from that.
Especially with, you know, the team starting to, you know, integrate. You've got a couple of players coming back from injury. And I know Poch has said about Marcelo and about how getting him into the squad and how that's going to take a bit of time, which you expect.
Well, and now we know he's out until October, if not November. With injury, so
it's not ideal, but there are other players that will step up, and it just means that when he does manage to get back to full fitness and we can have him back in the squad again, we can, you know, really start pushing on, and it will just refresh the team some more.
Well, let's hope now that, you know, the window's closed in Europe as well as here. We know what the team is now. We know who's playing. Yan Bertongen seems to be back in the fold, thankfully. Christian Eriksen isn't going anywhere, and if he does want to get that move, he knows he's got to be showing what he can do. And I think, you know, he has shown signs of recommitting to the squad now that he knows he's staying with us. So if we can get those players and Sonny can get some sharpness from playing matches, there's no reason why we can't really kick on from now and be winning those games. And this weekend is an important start for us against Palace. And then we go away, obviously, to Olympiacos midweek, which is not going to be an easy task, travelling midweek and then coming back for a Saturday game away at Leicester.
And obviously Kane being out on England duty as well, obviously grabbed a couple of goals as well, which is always good for your captain to be out and scoring goals. Keeping the form up, and hopefully you can keep that going through the Premier League and the Champions League and go through all these different competitions and just prove why he's like one of the top strikers in the world.
Well, he got a hat-trick on Saturday, so, you know, not a few more than a couple of goals, really.
Being too modest.
Yeah, you know, great performance. And as I say, you know, and Southgate's been singing his praises, saying, you know, he is the model professional. And, you know, we know that there's a lot of people, England fans never like liking their own players. So we know he's going to get some flack. But hopefully he'll come back uninjured and be, you know, ready to show that hat-trick goal-scoring form for Spurs.
That's what we always want to see from him. And you know, he's got that in his locker. So hopefully he can start bagging some more hat-tricks. Like, how many was it he got last season? God, too many.
Yes, he does like a hat-trick. But we haven't spoken about the Champions League group, obviously. We've got an interesting group there. It's a tricky group, I think, just in terms of Not necessarily footballing terms only, but in terms of, you know, we know that Red Star have a little bit of a history of problems with their fans and things. So there's going to be a few challenges for us in that group.
Yeah, and especially with some of our Proud Lily Whites members going out there, I can understand that there might be some, you know, issues, concerns and things like that as well. And obviously we'll be keeping a real close eye on it and trying to, you know, support any fans that are going out there as much as we can as well, and to get them any information that they'll need or just to be there for support just in case. But, you know, you like to think that given the platform that they're being given here in the Champions League, we'd like to, you know, put our best faith in them and hopefully we can only be talking about the football after the match.
Yes, well, I'm sceptical with the history that they have, but certainly when we're talking about, you know, the game in Germany and things like that, we should be expecting great results. And I know we've already making contact with some of the German fans for a meet-up and things, so should be great stuff and a really big match, that one. Hopefully, you know, a top of the group decider against Bayern Munich, of course. And Olympiacos, we'll wait and see what they hold. But, I mean, be lovely to go to Greece on an away trip, but unfortunately I won't be. But
yeah, same goes to me. Would have loved to have been able to go out there for that, but you know, there'll be plenty of Spurs fans out there, don't worry.
Yes, and no doubt some of the Proud Lily Whites will be going out there and cheering on the team. We're expecting a lot from the Champions League this season after a great campaign last year. Just have to wait and see what happens. Of course, last year the group stage proved very difficult for us, so sometimes, though, we seem to respond well when we have a difficulty in the early stages. That's when we do well later on.
Yeah, it seems to be, in the one hand, it looks like it's under the pressure and, you know, they deliver. But then, equally under the pressure, Champions League final, we don't deliver. You know, let's see how this goes.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I almost think there's less pressure in terms of the final because you're not expected to win it. And you're out of your comfort zone things. Whereas when you're playing against Manchester City, who are a team that you know pretty well, there's that greater fire in the belly to believe that you can do it at their ground or at your ground. And I just think it's a really different. I think your first Champions League final probably is a bit more of a enjoy the experience kind of thing and worry about the result later maybe.
Yeah, well, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, Cole, what would you give to be out there, being able to play in the Champions League final? I mean, it's a dream for any footballer.
So we start that campaign on the 18th away, and we'll be wearing our new third kit.
What are your thoughts on the kit, Sean? I mean,
well, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of any of them this year, to be honest with you. And actually, my nephews. I'm getting Ben one for Christmas, and he was umming and ahhing and wasn't sure. But then we saw the third goalkeeper shirt, and he decided that that's amazing, and that's the one he wants. So
well, that's good.
He found one he really liked. It's orange and yellow, and he thinks it's fantastic. But the third kit does seem to be splitting opinion. People either seem to love it or hate it. I mean, it's a nice blue, and it does. I mean, it has that retro feel to it. That panelling feels kind of like the kits were a bit in the 80s and 90s. So there's some nice familiarity about it, and I'm hoping it will become as iconic as last season's third kit, which really
you can't get your hands on that anywhere.
No, that really is, you know, that is the shirt that the, you know, that we played all those really key games in, isn't it? And Fernando Llorente scoring those goals and all of that in that shirt. It really is iconic. I mean, everybody liked it to begin with, I think, because it was so different. But then to become such the shirt that we wore on so many important occasions, it's going to live a long time in our memory, that one. So this season, they have got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, the blue, you know, it's not your traditional Spurs colours. I mean, I remember wearing it back in White Hart Lane and seeing some cracking goals scored in that and some great matches played with that colour. So, you know, maybe it might bring us a little bit of luck from those. In terms of the design of it, I mean, for me, I like the simple ones. Like last season's away shirt, that for me was like the absolute peak. And, you know, I'm not disappointed with this season of kits at all. I think they're really solid, but I just, you know, I don't feel it's like a step forward with the kit. You know, we've been put on this world stage, and everyone who didn't know who we are now does know who we are. And, you know, I was expecting something just that little bit maybe bigger and better, but that's just my opinion.
Well, and I think often you find that there's one of the three that you really go, yes, that's the one I like. And I don't have that feeling this year. They're all like, it's all right, but I'm not. You know, I'm not really absolutely loving any of them. But, you know, as you say, you know, the kit's what, and I think what's important is the football, and the kit may become, we may fall in love with the kit if the football is right this season.
Yeah, I mean, for my birthday, at the end of summer, my mum said that she'd get me whichever of the Spurs kits that I wanted. And I was like, I'll just hold off to see the third one. But I think I'm going to go for the away kit just because, me, myself, my favourite colour is purple. So just the hint of purple in there, just that probably edges it above the other two for me.
Yeah. Well, yes, and the training wear as well, of course, is all available now. It's everything you can just get in a variety of colours and shapes and just never-ending supply. And they also seemed, I remember last season, they seemed to change the training wear halfway through the season as well. So if you don't like this half of the season's training wear, don't worry, because next after Christmas, there'll be more. I just think, how much money do people have to spend? And then you go to the game and you see these kids in the full tracksuit with one of the shirts, and you're just like, if only I had the money to spend like that.
Yeah.
But there we go. Yeah, so lots of kit stuff. But, the season is, on hiatus now with internationals back at the weekend, and we're really hoping back to winning ways, I think.
I'm confident we'll definitely be picking up some more points now.
Well, fingers crossed. As I say, Crystal Palace have been doing quite well in the last couple of games, so we need to take it seriously against them. But hopefully, the players you know who haven't been on internationals have made good use of the time, and we'll be getting some. And those who have, you know, obviously get some confidence from being with their national team. Toby scored, of course, for Belgium. So great news for him. Great stuff from him. And hopefully we'll come back refreshed and ready to go and get 3 points on the board.
So last week, Sean and I, we went down to West Ham training ground to go and watch Spurs women against West Ham in their final pre-season friendly. And for me, it was the first time I've actually been to go and watch the women play in person. I mean, I've seen some of their matches online and things like that before, but this was, you know, the first time I actually really got to go and experience that match day there. And I've got to say, it just reminded me of the days when I used to go and watch my grassroots football with my grassroots team, and there was a lot of love there and really friendly environment, and it was just a wonderful day out, and I'm so glad that I went.
Yeah, it was a great day, and interesting to go to West Ham's training ground, and we didn't get to see very much because they were kind of forcing us to keep exactly on the path. There were lots of staff making sure we didn't wander anywhere.
Stewards everywhere.
but it's interesting though, because their stadium is at their training ground, and it is actually a proper little stadium. I mean,
yeah, you sort of walk through the training ground, through the car park, past the other training ground areas, and at the back there's the pitch with the stands and the dressing rooms and everything, and you've got your clubhouse all just at the back of the training ground.
Although, you know, as I said to you at the beginning of the game, it does show that it's still not quite there yet, because I went on arrival, obviously made a detour to the ladies, and one of the Spurs women players, Lucia Leon, was there washing her hands. So sharing the facilities with the players, which makes it a little bit extra special for the fans, but I'm not sure does for the players.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that can be potentially problematic down the line, but we'll see.
But yes, I mean, our first game against West Ham, obviously, the league game against West Ham is actually going to be at the London Stadium. So, but we have got West Ham twice coming up, so we will be back at the training grounds for the Conti Cup game against them in October. So lots of West Ham. But, I mean, yes, so you enjoyed that game, and it's interesting talking about that familiar feel of the grassroots feel, and that's, I think, what a lot of us love about the women's game. And yet, that's one of the big things that's changing, I think, this season. And a lot of the proud Lilywhites went up to Stamford Bridge for the opening day of the Super League at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea. And a bit of a different experience from what we're used to.
Yeah, it was great to see some really good numbers on there as well. If you haven't managed to see any of the pictures, if you check out our social media, you can see the photos of the proud Lilywhites. And we also met with the Chelsea LGBT group while we were there as well. And, you know, it was one of those ones where I was really gutted that I couldn't be a part of that, because after going and watching the women against West Ham and, you know, completely in the zone, I was ready to go to another match and go and watch how they play on the big stage in the Super League. And, you know, it was great to see the photos and the fact that we could watch it live. So as soon as I finished work, I had it straight away on my phone ready to watch, sat watching on the train. And, you know, every time they were pressing forward, you know, on the edge of my seat and things like that. And it was great, the support that was there. And even through my headphones, I could still hear all the different songs that everyone was singing. You know, what an amazing experience that must have been.
Yeah, it was really great, and a great way to start the season. And I think you can tell, I mean, Emma Hayes, who's the Chelsea manager, came out afterwards and said, you know, at the start of the game when the Chelsea fans were singing and the Spurs fans started singing, you know, she was like, this is what it's meant to be, this is how it's supposed to be. I mean, from my perspective, I was sat there at Stamford Bridge going, man, it's a bit of a small stadium. just because we're so used, I've been at Wembley the day before, and with our stadium, obviously, you know, at Stamford Bridge, you can see the sky above the stand. It's a bit weird. It was a sold out game, but there was, it was only probably half full, a little bit more than that. There was about just under 25,000 people there. And, So, you know, there were lots of empty seats, but there were lots of people there who were enjoying the game and making a noise, and some Spurs fans there making a noise and singing some songs. We had a great time. I mean, I think any Spurs fan who's been following the women's game was a little bit trepidatious at the beginning of the day, and we were a little bit fearful of what the score was going to be, because Chelsea are one of the best teams in the country and Spurs are newly promoted. But, you know, the women's team acquitted themselves so well. Yes, in the fourth minute, that goal went in. It was a bit of a firecracker from Bethany England. Not a lot that our keeper was going to do about it. And there was that moment of, is this going to be the start of another Arsenal game like we had in pre-season? But it wasn't. And the team played really well. And, you know, big props to Jenna Schillaci, Ashley Neville, and Coral Haynes, who were the three starting players who were with us last season. Coral went off at half time. But, you know, Jenna and Ash played the whole game. And, you know, Ash in particular, as we know she does, made some great challenges. Jenna made some great challenges. Ash is a bit more of the sort of person that you notice, because she makes some runs and some crosses as well. But they both did fantastically. And Jenna, who has been with this club now, this is her 11th season with the club, having been promoted three times, it's just amazing that she can step up again to a new level and do as well as she's doing. So, and the new team, you know, the new members of the team starting to work together really well. And towards the end of the second half, we started to push forward. We started to, you know, actually look like we might score a goal. And in the second half, a bit of a change in midfield. And we really started, you know, with some pushing. And there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, obviously. But it'd be interesting to see next weekend. We play Liverpool, who last season were not one of the better teams in the Women's League. They have made some improvements this year. They're a lot more of an attacking side this year than they were last year. So it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. But it'll be really good to test ourselves against, you know, one of the teams in the league that we're going to need to be challenging with. We know that the Chelsea's, the Arsenal's, the Manchester City's are not the teams that we're going to be competing with at this stage in our progression. But Liverpool, West Ham, those teams we do need to be pushing up against.
It's going to be a great experience for the whole squad there, integrating in. You know, even just when we were at the pre-season friendly, just watching them in the training beforehand and the warm-ups and things like that, and it just looks like such a happy atmosphere. Like, we've done it, we've got here, and there's no expectations, there's no, you know, they're not expected to get to any particular level, they're not expected to be at the top of the table, they're not expected to be at the bottom. They're going in completely fresh, open-minded, and just able to play the game they love to play.
Well, and you know what, I think there's also, you know, you have to mention Karen and Juan, who are so brilliant at creating that atmosphere.
And they put so much hard work into that. Yeah, they have.
You know, they build that great team who all work hard for each other, who are all happy to be there, who all look like they're relaxed and confident, but you know that they want to be doing the best that they can. They're saying, you know, our aim this season is to be competitive. But you know that they've got their eye on doing a bit more than that. And just to put together a squad over the summer that, again, a challenge at these teams is an incredible feat. They've a lot of hard work from Karen and Juan, as there always has been. And, you know, we love them as Spurs fans. You know, it's great. You know, we've got Poch for the men's team, who we all love, and the women's team, you know, those two are really brilliant. You know, Karen's been at the club for a good number of years now as well. I think same length of time as Jenna. And Juan's been a few years less, but nonetheless he's come in and, you know, he and Karen work so well together and really create that atmosphere where they're all so together and in it together, and this bunch of disparate women are all pushing for the same thing and believing in Spurs. And it's really brilliant to see.
Yeah, you see definitely like the passion you see from Juan as well, like on the sidelines. Didn't realise how vocal he was.
Yes, well, and even, I mean, when we were at West Ham, we were on the other side of the pitch from the dugout, and of course we could even hear Karen at times, which is almost unheard of. But Juan's known for shouting Wendy rather loudly across the pitch, and we'll miss that this season. But the name to look out for this season is Angela. That's quite fun.
Yeah, we heard a few shouts of Angela on that match, didn't we?
Yes, and she did come on against Chelsea, so obviously she's going to be making a few appearances. Still very young, only 19 years of age, got a lot of speed. But it's going to be a big step up for her to... it's interesting, isn't it, those players who were just starting to break through last season in the Championship. I think Coral Haynes is in that bracket as well. And now they've got to continue that, but make an impact in the league above. You know, it's a big ask for them. But obviously, Karen and Juan have got faith in those players to do that.
And I tell you what as well, I myself am hoping to get to as many women's matches this season as I can. Just, you know, that match day experience there was something that, you know, it's all well going to the big stadium and you know, having the huge experience and the atmosphere and things like that. But for me, the atmosphere when you go to these smaller matches where you're all stood around, you know, wooden fence posts with, you know, advertising boards on and things like that, and you know, you really feel a part of it. And I think in the Women's Super League, there's going to be a real good mix of that, because you've got the big stadium events. You've got London Stadium for the West Ham match. You've got Stamford Bridge against Chelsea, and we're going to be at home against Arsenal. You know, so we have those big match days and the big crowds. But you also have the more intimate ones where you haven't got those, and we're at different stadiums and, you know, slightly smaller and more, like I said, more intimate. And I think that's a real good blend to have. And I think, you know, it will get the women hyped for the big matches, but also they'll knuckle down for the matches that are, you know, more intimate.
Well, and don't forget, you know, as well, another great thing about having those small grounds is that the players come up and, you know, talk to particularly the kids, but all the fans after the game. If you hang around, you know, there's none of this separation that you get at the men's games. So you get the opportunity to meet the players and the kids. They'll sign autographs and have pictures taken with them and things. It's really fantastic. And they all spend a lot of time doing that. So, you know, come down to a game. I mean, we're at the Hive this weekend for our first home game. It's going to be interesting. New home for us this season. Slightly bigger, quite a lot bigger home than we had last season. So it's going to be a bit of a different vibe. We don't quite know how many people are going to be there. Hopefully lots of people will come down. We'll get some good noise going, get an atmosphere going, and to cheer the girls on as they start this new chapter. And it is, you know, a new chapter with a new stadium and our first home game. And as I say, the first game where we look at it and go, okay, we've got a good shout there at putting some points on the board. And particularly, I think now after such a fantastic game against Chelsea, only a one goal loss, you know, we're looking at it going, right, come on then, let's do this.
So if you are about on Sunday and you want to come down and you're in the area, Sean, you're going to be there, aren't you?
I will be there, and several others of the Proud Lily Whites will be there. We'll endeavour to have our banner up somewhere so that you can see us. Unfortunately, the Chelsea lot didn't let us take ours in there, but we will have the banner with us and find somewhere to put it up so you'll be able to spot us. Come over, say hello, and watch the game. You know, as I say, so it'll be a great game, I think, and really, you know, the start to the home games. And we're all really looking forward to it. So I'm hoping there'll be lots of people down there.
And hopefully, Sean, you'll be able to do some recordings so that people can get a little glimpse of what it's like being at a women's match at the Hive.
Yep, we'll try and record some of the atmosphere and look at the way to get there so that we can give you some information. It's fairly easy, to be honest with you. It's just a little bit further up the Jubilee line from Wembley. Yeah, it's not too difficult at all. I went there last season for an away game, because it's where the London Bees play, obviously. So nice little journey to get there, and hopefully a bit of atmosphere and a bit of noise at the stadium.
And we hope to see as many of you there as we can. And like I said, I'm really gutted I'm not going to be able to get there, but you know, work is work.
Well, yes, if you will, you know, do these retail jobs. Yes, but no, I mean, I'm a season ticket holder for the women's team as well as the men's, so I shall be at all the home games, fingers crossed, and actually this season hoping to go to a lot of the away games as well, just to really see the different grounds and see how things go and to be part of this, you know, huge season.
Has written a little opinion piece about social media platforms and how they should be treated like every other place where people congregate. And it was a really interesting read as well because, you know, it's been in the news a little bit recently and, you know, how we want social media companies to do more in terms of the different discrimination that's going on across the whole network, really. And, you know, if you haven't had a chance to have a read of it, if you go onto the Proudly White website, there's an opinion pieces section on there and you can read Chris's entry there. But it was you know, it spoke to me. Like, for me, I'm always on social media and it has such a big influence in my life. And, you know, I think there's definitely a lot more, you know, regulation that's needed around it. And, you know, you see some things on there and, you know, for me, it might just be a passing comment that I scroll past, but for someone else that could really be like, you know, it could cause offense. It could hurt, you know, it could cause damage. And, you know, we want it to be a welcoming place for everyone, the same as we want it at match days for everyone. And, you know, in the workplace and everything like that. And there's no reason why social media should be any different.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of issues at the moment, isn't it? It's not just one issue. I mean, in football, the issue of racism is particularly potent at the moment, but we've seen as well at the moment, you know, we've got a member of Little Mix talking about her experiences of being bullied online, you know, for being fat. We've got, you know, one of our members, Leah, picked up on after the women's game how great it all was, but then looking at some of the comments on social media about the women's game, you know, just ruined that experience for her because, you know, such a joyous experience, and then you go and look online and the people, you know, if you're not interested in it, then fine, go away, but people do feel that need, don't they, to make their feelings felt and to not worry, because you can't see people's faces and you can't see the impact that you're having on somebody. You can just do what you like, people feel, I think. And yeah, there's a lot about it at the moment, and it's over a whole range of issues, and we just need everybody to stop and think about how they use social media and the impact that what they're saying could have on somebody. Because as you say, plenty of us will just go, oh, those idiots again. But for some people, that's a real issue and a real problem, and it can stop, not only can it stop people doing things in their real life, but it can have a much more serious impact as well, as we've seen with Little Mix, you know, in the news this week, and the reality of even online comments, what that can mean to somebody.
And like we were saying earlier as well, we're obviously playing Red Star, and you know, you don't want to think that, you know, you're going to be hearing racist things in the stadium and things like that, or seeing it on social media afterwards. But you know, it seems almost inevitable at the moment, the way that everything's happening. You know, you're kind of expecting it to come, and I think that's a really bad reflection on where we are as a society at the moment. And again, social media does have a big influence on that, and you know, it's all about holding them to account for that. So if you haven't read Chris's piece yet, she mentions in there that when she was at the I think it was a Women's World Cup, she posted a little clip. I think it was like an 8-second clip of the football match. And within 15 minutes, Twitter had removed it for infringement and copyright. And she was saying that if that can happen so quick, then why can't it be the same with racism or sexist comments or ableism or LGBT hate speech and things like that? And she has such a valid point, because you shouldn't be able to, you know, let these things happen and only try and react like when other people are complaining about it. It should be almost filtered out, and if they've got, you know, the infrastructure there where they can remove things for copyright, why can't they remove things that are instantly flagged up as potentially being, you know, one of these horrible discriminatory things?
Well, and I think, you know, that there are going to be times when it's difficult for those platforms to know where that boundary is. But we also know that at the moment there's so much out there that is clearly discriminatory and harmful in one way, shape or form. There's no question about it. So there's no question that it's removed. Once we've got that done, then we're going to have a tougher conversation about where that line is drawn. But, you know, at the moment, there's just so much out there, isn't there, that is, there's no question that the person is intending to discriminate against somebody, and therefore that should just be taken down and shouldn't be part of that platform. Yes, people should be able to say what they think, but they should say it in such a way that it doesn't cause offence to other people.
Exactly, and the Proud Lily Whites have always been, you know, big advocates for inclusivity and making sure that not only is football everyone's game, but everyone's supported in everything they do. Our members, you know, that we're hearing from them all different things about, you know, issues in the workplace and, you know, about wanting to come to match days and not sure if, you know, whether it's going to be okay for them. And we've also had members who have written in to us to say that they've only started attending matches again because the Proud Lily Whites exist, because they know that the club supports them and that there's infrastructure there for acceptance. And I think, you know, it takes me back to when we had the incident with Danny Rose. Two of our members, I think it was Tanya and Maggie, worked with Chris, and they came up with the support for Danny Rose banner. And, you know, me, myself and Maggie, we stood outside with Chris for the Man City Champions League match and the Ajax matches at home. And, you know, we got all those signatures on there. And it wasn't just the football fans. You had people who lived in Tottenham who were just going and getting their weekly shop, walking past and putting all their bags down to sign the banner in support for someone that they themselves probably didn't even know who it was. But, you know, it's things like that that for me just, you know, there are people fighting the corner and, you know, we need to make sure that our voices are heard. And we've also recently been announced that we've been nominated for the Fans for Diversity Award. Again, for the work that we've done, not only with the Danny Rose banner, but you know, in all different aspects. And I think that's a great way for different people to hear about the work that we're doing and to be recognised for it. And there's so many other nominees there as well that have all done amazing things in their club and in their community for support and again, not just for LGBT fans, but for all people who suffer discrimination in football.
And I think we have to recognise that the louder that we become, the louder the other side become, and that's potentially part of the problem. It, you know, there's a lot of positive stuff going on at the moment, and so those people who feel like their voices are being muted are going to start being louder, and we just have to continue to keep saying what we're saying, and we have to say it in a reasonable way, and we have to educate those people who aren't there yet and who don't see things the way that we see them. You know, there's patience, but there's also, you know, enough is enough. And we will engage in those conversations. We will work with people. But at the end of the day, you know, keeping plugging away, doing the little things like having the banner up that mean so much to people are equally important as the big things. And we need to be part of all of those things happening. But recognise, as I say, that the more vocal we get, the more vocal the other side will get as well, until such time as, you know, we have reached far enough.
Well, I think that's really sort of like not the end goal. That's just a position where we want to be comfortably, where, you know, everything runs as smoothly as it can and you don't have so much of a backlash. And, you know, you see a lot of people like protesting against, you know, pride parades and, you know, coming up with alternate ones. And, you know, it seems like we're in a very, very much a heated mess at the moment, and everyone's opinions are very polarised with pretty much everything going on in the UK and in the world right now. And, you know, I think it's good that we've got groups who are trying just to clear the air and just, you know, we're here, this is us, no hate, all love. And, you know, hopefully if we can get social media companies on board and things like that, we can hopefully, you know, make many people's lives a lot less difficult.
Well, I think on that note, we need to say goodbye. I think we've
That took a little dark turn, didn't it?
Yeah, we got a bit serious for a minute there. It is a serious issue, and the Proud Lily Whites have a serious mission. But we're also here just to enjoy our football and to ensure that everybody can enjoy their football, be that with the men's team, the women's team, the under 23s, whoever it is you choose to follow at Spurs. You know, we're all one family and we're all here to look after each other. So we thank you for listening to another pod. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back again before too long with another one, no doubt. And we may even produce a little mini pod to help introduce you to the women's game. As we know, lots of you out there are keen to get involved, but don't quite, you know, the men's game, it's really easy to know how to get involved in that. But sometimes you need a bit of support with new things. So we're going to try that out. And I'd hopefully see lots of you, Crystal Palace on Saturday, Liverpool on Sunday. Come on, you Spurs.